for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, June the 21st, 1979. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, midweek evening service. Lee Ellenwood of Pacoima, California, is the speaker of the evening.
Almost every time I teach this, they sing it off just as though they knew it. I think probably you folks be doing about the same thing here. All right.
Mighty, mighty, mighty is the Lord our God. Mighty, mighty, mighty is the Lord our God. Mighty, mighty, mighty is the Lord our God. Mighty in the midst of thee. Mighty, mighty, mighty is the Lord our God, mighty in the midst of things.
All right, you may be seated. Hallelujah. Now, tonight we're going to talk about a little thing in warfare. Now, there are two things that I believe in very thoroughly, and they're in the background of everything I think that I'm teaching in these days. Number one is I believe that Jesus is coming soon. And I believe that Jesus can come at any moment. Now, a lot of people, when they say that they believe that Jesus is coming soon, you begin talking with them, and they have a lot of contravening things that they say have to take place before the Lord can come. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus can come at any moment. Praise the Lord. Now, see, I'm sort of qualifying things here a little bit, but I believe this with all of my heart. And perhaps some other meeting we can talk about this a little bit more. You see, the coming of the Lord doesn't bring everything to an end. It doesn't halt everything. It accentuates everything when you begin to understand what the coming of the Lord means. Every bit of Holy Ghost ministry that you have now will explode into fullness at the coming of the Lord. Isaiah 62:11 tells us that when he comes, his reward is in his hand and his work is before him. His work is before him. All right, number two, I believe that we're already in the next move. Personally, I do not feel that there's going to be another outpouring of the Spirit such as we've had in the past century. Three great outpourings. We've had what is called the historical Pentecostal outpouring, the latter rain, and then the charismatic. But I believe that God is beginning right now his work of perfection. And I believe that already we're in the next move, and God is preparing people for this next move. And the next move does involve the coming of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, one of the things that God is getting ready to do to bring about the final destruction of the powers of darkness. Praise the Lord. All right, I'm going to read a scripture tonight. Matthew 12:29. Matthew 12:29. Just a portion of the scripture here. And here Jesus says, "How can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house?" Notice those words there. How can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his good except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? See, we're living in a time when most Christians are interested in spreading Christian culture. And we have a proliferation of the building of churches, different programs, publishing, and all kinds of activities. And most Christians are occupied largely in the spreading of Christian culture. Now, I don't have the blackboard here tonight. I didn't know if you wanted to keep this or not. All right, let's turn it around then, and we'll use the other side there. Thank you. Got an eraser? Thank you. You know where everything is? I got some chalk here. All right, let's imagine that over here is Earth, and you're one of the astronauts, and you're out here in a spaceship. You're going out to the moon. Only you're looking back towards Earth. There's a very interesting brother up in Idaho, and he's a machinist, and he had something to do with the building of this
spacecraft that landed on the moon. He designed it, and he built those legs, you know, that it sat down on.
All right. So when you look back at the Earth,
you would see a very beautiful sight. You would see the Earth, and for the most part, it would be shrouded in white clouds. There'd be a break here and there, and sometimes you could see the blue ocean. Sometimes you could see the continent.
But for the most part, the Earth is shrouded in beautiful white clouds. It's a white planet.
You've all seen the pictures, I'm sure, haven't you, that they took. They were in different magazines.
Now, if you had the eyes of the spirit, you would see something else.
And you just have to imagine, you know, that
this is black.
But if you had the eyes of the spirit and looked back and saw the Earth, you would see that it was completely shrouded with a black covering. This is black.
Thousands of years ago, Adam and Eve turned this sphere over to Satan.
I think we all understand that.
And Jesus acknowledged that Satan was the prince of the power of this world. He's the prince of this world. Jesus acknowledged that.
And so tonight, we live upon a planet that is completely shrouded. I'll qualify that in a moment. With a covering of darkness, because Satan is the de facto ruler of this planet.
His reign is soon to end. Praise the Lord.
Now, we see some examples of this in the Word of God. For example, there was Daniel, Daniel talked about the king of the prince of Persia and the prince of Grecia, and so on. And so Satan, over the centuries, millenniums, has built up a hierarchy that completely surrounds the earth. And there is a prince over every political division in the earth. For example, we have a prince over, let's say, Russia. And there's a prince over England. And even though we call the United States a Christian nation, which it is not, there is a prince of Satan over the United States. And there's a prince over Canada. And there's a prince over every nation upon the face of the earth. Now, this covering is not absolute. And so God has, let's say, Daniel Persia, and he's the prime minister. And we have Joseph, and he was, under Pharaoh, he was the greatest man in the land. And in our government, we have certain men that are God-fearing, Bible-believing, born again. God has placed them in high places, and they act as a salt to the earth. And then I like to say this, that when we are worshiping God, we're punching holes through that sack that is covering it. We're punching holes through it. And so this is why we need to do a lot of praying and worshiping, because in doing this, we're beginning to tear that covering, that shroud that is over the earth. We're beginning to tear it asunder. And you see, the thing that God is moving us toward is that we are going utterly to tear this hierarchy apart and release earth once again into the condition in which God had created it originally. All right, so Jesus says now, how can you enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods unless you first bind that strong man? First. Notice the word here, first. Well, we have a lot of people in these days, and they don't understand this, and so they said, well, what we need is to build more churches. And so they build churches. And somebody says, well, we should have a college, a Bible college. And so they build a Bible college. And somebody else says, we should go in business. We'll have a Christian business. And so they start a Christian business over here. And people are doing all kinds of things. They're spreading this Christian culture. But Jesus says, how can you bind this strong man unless you first bind this strong man? Now, let's maybe kind of illustrate this here a little bit. Now, you folks didn't know it, but Glenn and Irma are extremely wealthy. They're very, very wealthy. You didn't know that, did you? How many of you knew that? Okay. And so they have a lot of gold hidden away under their mobile home up here. Down underneath there, they have a hole, and they have a lot of gold and silver there. And all through the years, Glenn has been buying Irma diamonds and rubies and necklaces and tiaras and bracelets and beautiful watches, you know, all the things that a lot of ladies like. And so she has all kinds of things in her bedroom, you know, in the different drawers, and they have a safe in the wall, and you know, the things that are worth more than $10,000, why she puts up there in that safe.
safekeeping. And then they've been buying stocks and bonds and things like that. And every night when they go home, you know, they pull the curtains down and they keep these stocks and bonds under the mattress when they take them out. And they check them over, and in the morning they call up the broker and, buy or sell and things like that. See, now you didn't know that, did you? But they're extremely wealthy. Now, I happen to know about this. I've heard about this. And so I say to myself, I think I'll rob them. So I begin to lay my plan. And you kind of have to imagine how they live on a street somewhere where there's a lot of houses. So I do what is called casing the joint. And I rent an apartment across the street and down a little ways where I can watch them. And I learn all about their habits, how they come in and go out and when they are away. And I'm laying plans now. I'm going to rob them. And so finally I hear that Glenn's going, or Irma's going to be away. She's going back to California to visit some friends, and Glenn's going to be there all by himself. And so I decide on a certain night then, and I get me a sack and I get me some rope. And so I watch a while, and nobody is there, and I know that Glenn's in there, and he's in his easy chair, and I've never seen him sit down in an easy chair, so you'll have to imagine this too. But anyway, I'm telling the story here. So he's in his easy chair, and so I come down the street and I knock at the door, and he says, "What do you want?" See, he doesn't know me. I'm a stranger. I'm the bad guy. And I said, I've come to rob you. And he says, "Over my dead body you'll rob me." And he begins to wrestle with me, and I wrestle with him. And finally I lick him. It would probably be the other way around. I'm not in very good shape right now. But it'd probably be the other way around. But, you know, like I say, I'm telling the story. And so I tie him up with my rope, and I put him in an inside closet somewhere. And I gag him so that when he hollers, nobody can hear him. And I lock the door in the closet. And then after I have bound him, then at leisure, I can go through his house, and I can steal his goods. I can spoil his goods. And so I go under the house, and I get the gold and the silver, and I put it in my sack, and I go through, and I get all the beautiful antiques that they've been collecting through the years, and put them in my sack, and I get the stocks and bonds, and I put them in my sack, and I get all the jewelry in the drawers, and I find the safe up there, and I open up this safe, and I put all of this stuff in my sack, and then I take off. Now, this is the picture that Jesus is furnishing here. He said, "How can you spoil a strong man's house unless you first bind that strong man?" And then he said, "You can spoil his house." And God has some people that right now are beginning to spoil Satan's house. They're beginning to bind Satan, and when they bind Satan, then they can spoil his house. Now, over every city, over every community, over every neighborhood, there's a satanic force. And even now, it is possible to bind these strong men and release that city or that state or even that nation unto the blessings of God. Even now, it is possible to do that. Now, I'm not going to talk very long tonight. I think Glenn told me about 20 minutes, and he's been gone about 15. And I'm just going to tell you one story from the Bible and one story from somebody else's experience. Now, when Paul went to Ephesus, he apparently did something there that he hadn't done in any other place. And the Word of God tells us that when he came to Ephesus, the first thing he did, he hunted up some Spirit-baptized people. Now, in order to bind the strong man, you have to have some Spirit-baptized people. It may not take very many. Fact is, maybe one man could do it. But this was a very strong power that was over Ephesus. And so he inquired around, and he found some disciples, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed?" This is the way it is in the literal Greek. "Did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed?" And they said, "We haven't even heard anything about the Holy Spirit." So the Word tells us that Paul laid hands upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Now, I believe that when a man receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that he speaks in tongues. And a little bit of prophecy on top of that doesn't hurt either. Although it's not found in every case. Now, why did Paul desire to have some Spirit-filled men with him? Because, you see, this thing of binding the strong man
is an operation of the Holy Ghost. And people that are not baptized with the Holy Ghost cannot be used of God in the binding of strong men. It is the anointing that breaks this yoke that Satan has placed upon people and has placed upon the earth. All right, then he tells us in another place that he fought with wild beasts in Ephesus. And the Greek word here for wild beast is theeron or something like that. I forget exactly how it's pronounced. And it doesn't simply mean some ferocious animal, but in the Word of God, it is used with reference to the beast that comes up out of the sea and the beast that comes up out of the earth. In other words, Antichrist and the false prophet. It is also used, you remember in Mark when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness and Satan was there and it said the wild beasts were there. These were not simply coyotes and jackals and things like that. These were satanic powers. These were demon powers, and they were present at the baptism of Jesus. And so, when Paul talks about fighting with wild beasts in Ephesus, he's not talking simply about fighting a lion or a bear or something like that in the arena, but he is talking about his battle with the powers of darkness that were over Ephesus. And apparently he must have won, because the Word of God, in telling about what happened, lets us know that the blessing of God was released upon Ephesus, and there was a mighty visitation of the Lord in that city, and the Word of God tells us that the Word of the Lord prevailed. It prevailed. It prevailed. Why? Because Paul and these that were with him fought against that strong man, or the strong men that bound the city. And remember that Ephesus was the capital of paganism, and they bound those beasts, and that city was released unto God, and paganism was dealt a blow from which it never recovered in Ephesus, because it was the capital of paganism in the ancient world. Now, this is what God is bringing us up to, and we'll talk more about these things and give you more explanatory material as we move along. But this is what God is moving his people toward. And God is going to use his people, and they're going to rise up, and they're going to bind these strong powers that are over our cities. A while back, I was in California, and I hadn't been to San Francisco for a long time. I'd gone to Bible school there. I have no love for the place. And I hadn't been back there for, I don't know, maybe once or twice in many, many, many years. And so I said to a friend of mine over in Fremont, I said, I'd like to go over to San Francisco and just to get the feel of the thing. And I'd never ridden on BART. You know what BART is? It's that railroad that, I don't know what you call it, streetcars or something. And they come from San Jose and Oakland and different places, and they go under San Francisco Bay and they come up in San Francisco so people can commute very quickly back and forth. And my friend worked in San Francisco at one of the hotels there. So he said, what I'll do, he says, I'll drive you and my wife over, and we'll drive over to San Francisco. And then after we have gone around a little bit, then I'll come home in the car and meet you, and you can come home on BART. So the three of us walked around in downtown San Francisco. And I want to tell you something. I have never felt, I don't think in this way, the powers of darkness like I felt in San Francisco. Have any of you been there, you know, recently? Did you feel that? Just the powers of darkness. Down in the financial sector. And we walked around. He told me all about it. He works right down there. And he said, I'll show you the homosexual section. And so we walked around there. He said, you'll notice that you never see a homosexual that has a glad face. Never. They never have a glad, joyful-looking face. They never smile. We walked around. We came down to Union Square, and somebody was having a demonstration down there, and there were some people with parading around with placards and so on. I don't know what it was. And as we were walking around Union Square, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost fell on. And we began speaking in tongues, and for myself, it just felt like I wanted to yell the thing. Just cry it out at the top of my voice. I didn't, because I knew the time hadn't come. But the Lord was showing us in this that there's going to be operations of the Holy Ghost. And you and I are going to go into these strongholds of Satan. And by word of the mouth, by a stretching out of a hand, by the stomping of the foot, some way or another, there's going to be an operation of the Holy Spirit and these mighty strongholds that the enemy has set up are going to crumble and they're going to fall. I believe in this with all of my heart. I've had a couple of experiences. Maybe if the time permits, there's another meeting, I might tell you about some of these things. But there's going to be that operation of the Holy Spirit. I ministered for the first time in Utah a while back. I think it was last summer. And I thought, I wonder what's going to happen to me in Utah. I've heard so much about Utah. And God sovereignly had saved a man and his wife out of the Mormon church. And he was really instigated into this thing through some writings in the Book of Mormon. He showed them to me. And but he was genuinely saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And he thought that everybody in the church there was going to receive this. Well, you know what happened? He quickly found himself on the outside. He went for a few weeks over to the Assembly of God Church, and then the Lord showed him that he was to open a work. And so he opened a work, and God has given him a beautiful group of people. It's not very big yet, about this size here. And how they worship the Lord, and how they rejoice before the Lord. And you know, I told him, I said, I don't feel anything heavy here. I said, all God has to do when he gets ready is just to blow. Hallelujah. Let his spirit come upon the situation. And this Mormon thing is going to crumble. It's going to come down. There's nothing too hard for God. Now, there is no power that can stand up under the breath of the Almighty. And so God is speaking to our hearts, and this is going to be a part of the next move, and it's beginning even now. It's going to be a part of the next move, and God is going to use his anointed people, and they're going to take these strongholds of Satan and deliver those that have been taken captives against their will, in many cases by the enemy, and set them free. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've been singing, mighty, mighty, mighty is the Holy One. Praise the Lord. All right, I'd like to just tell you a little story I heard one time. There's a lady by the name of Hattie Hammond. You know her, don't you? And she's had some very unusual experiences with God. She's very aged now, I think probably in her 80s, and doesn't get around just quite so much, but she's still ministering the Word of God. And I heard her tell this one time, and I think perhaps this will help you to understand the practical aspects of some of these things. Well, she had a number of invitations to go places, and according to her custom, she spread them out upon the bed, and she prayed over each one. And when she felt an anointing upon one of these letters, then she knew that this was the place to which she should go. And she didn't know much about the particular place. It was a little Baptist church. And what she didn't know was that this little church was just about ready to close up. There were just a few people left, and they were in a very hostile part of the city. I imagine perhaps Roman Catholic. And they just about decided that they were going to close shop. But they thought, well, we've heard about this lady, and we'll invite her over, and we'll have a meeting and see what happens. So Hattie said that the Lord spoke to her as she was leaving and said, I'll be with you. She thought, uh-oh, that means there's going to be trouble. You want to remember that when the Lord says he's going to be with you. That means you got some trouble coming up. So she came to this meeting, and so she preached. Now, I can't give you all of the details just exactly here because it's been quite a while since I heard this. But she ministered there for a meeting or two. And one night, the door opened and somebody shot at her. And she didn't even know it. I think that was nice of the Lord. I know if somebody were going to shoot at me, I'd appreciate not knowing it. At least until after the service was over. And so after the service, they showed her where the bullet had lodged in the wall, missed her head by about a foot. And then somebody else opened the door and threw a brick at her. And the brick just fell at her feet. Just like it hit a wall and just fell at her feet. And then one night, the Spirit of the Lord came upon her. And to appreciate this, you would really have to know Hattie Hammond. She is in every sense a lady. Always dresses the part. She's a lady. She comes from back east and back, at least a generation ago, why,
They didn't take the liberties that we do on the West Coast. She would even put on her a little suit and so on and blouse even when she would go to market. She always dressed and always was a lady. And so all of a sudden, here she is going up and down like this. She's like, and, oh, Lord, she said, what is this? What am I doing? And she said, only twice in her life has she ever done anything like that. And the Lord gave her that scripture over in the 91st Psalm, where it says that we're going to trample, you know, these serpents and these dragons and all of these evil things under our feet. Now, this was an operation of the Holy Spirit. These are very real things. In order to bind the strong men, we have to enter into operations of the Spirit. I had a friend in Phoenix, and he told me about a fellow there that had a burden for Phoenix. And so he thought, if I can just get the Pentecostal people together in Phoenix, we'll have a revival from God. Have you ever been to Phoenix? You know, the Full Gospel Businessmen have a kind of a special convention there. And when they have this convention, the Spirit-filled people all come together, and after that, like that, they all scatter. And so this man rented an arena, and he mortgaged his own property to underwrite the thing, and engaged the services of Pat Boone. Now, with all respect to Pat Boone, I have nothing to say against him. And so, just about the time this meeting was to begin, the PA system went dead, and they couldn't get it to working. And there was no meeting, and there was no visitation of God. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is, I want to show you the difference of attempting to do something just in the natural, and in entering into an operation of the Spirit. I'm sure that Pat Boone is an estimable man, and God is using him. But you see, the thing that God is telling us is this, that there has to be an operation of the Spirit. Bringing in a celebrity is not going to do the job. That's not going to do the job. You could get the president here, but he could not get the job done. And so that night, here was Hattie Hammond, and she was trampling, literally trampling, the powers of darkness under her feet. This was literally happening. Then God began to work. And people were slain under the power of God. Not that you have to have people slain under the power, but that's what God did here. And the meetings were going quite late, around 2:30 sometimes. And one night, a policeman came in. I guess somebody had complained. The neighbors had complained. And he says, what's going on in here? And he pointed to a lady lying on the floor, and he said, what's she doing on the floor there? Get her up from there. And so Hattie said to the policeman, well, she said, I want to explain to you. Now, she said, God put her there. And if you want her up, you get her up. Well, the policeman didn't, get her up under circumstances like that. And so Hattie talked with him, and after a while, you know what happened? He offered to take her home in his police car after the services. She had him just kind of eating out of her hand like that. And it was usually around 2:30 and 3 before the meetings were over. And he offered to take her home and to her motel, which he did a number of nights. All right, so time went on, and the Lord said to Hattie, now, Hattie, I want you to announce a divine healing service for Sunday afternoon. And she said, Lord, I've never announced a divine healing service in my life. She's not the kind to say at 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon we're going to have a miracle meeting, you know, like so many do today. And she just wasn't that kind. And the Lord said, announce it. So she got up before the people very timorously, and she said, the Lord says that we're going to have a divine healing service on Sunday afternoon. See, she wasn't going to take the responsibility for it. She said, the Lord says that we're going to have one. So Sunday afternoon arrived, and the Nazarenes had brought 5 terminal cases and put them in front of her like that. Things like cancer. People that were going to die. And she said the Lord came and healed them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Just like that. And she said, and this was our entrance into the Nazarene church. And then one night, it was quite late, and the pastor was getting things ready to close up. You know how pastors do. They flicker lights and things like that to let you know it's meeting's over with and time to go home.
And so it was quite late. Nobody was left there. Just Hattie and the pastor. And she said, "Pastor," she says, "I feel God's not through yet." She says, "Let's just wait on the Lord." Well, he said, "Everybody's gone." Well, she said, I feel that God isn't quite through yet." And so rather grudgingly, he sat down with her there on the front seat. And after a while, the door burst open. And a woman came in, dressed in high fashion. And she said, "Is there anybody here that can pray? I'm fed up. Anybody here can pray? I'm just all fed up." So Hattie says, "Well," she said, "what can we do for you?" And it seemed that this woman was a nightclub entertainer. And she'd had a row with her boyfriend. And she was just fed up with the whole kind of life that she'd been living. And she saw a light in this church. And so she came in, hoping that somebody might be there that could pray with her. And so they prayed with her. And Hattie said, "And this was our entrance into the Methodist church." God began giving her then territory. First that church, which I think was Baptist. And then the Nazarene church. And then the Methodist church. Invited her for meetings and invited her for her rather unique ministry, you know. But how did it begin? It began on the night when she trampled that strong man under her feet. Now this is what God is leading us into. Some of you folk come from different cities and you've never had a visitation in your city. Maybe God wants to use you to bind that strong man over your city. How many of you are from out of town here? From different places, see? Okay. I'm sure that some of your cities have never had a visitation of God. Maybe God wants to begin to move upon you, and it's going to be an operation of the Holy Ghost. He will bring you into something. It may be through a volume of prophecy or a volume of tongues under mighty anointing. It might be like the trampling of the enemy under your feet. There are hundreds of things that God can do in these operations of the Holy Spirit. But God is more interested in this hour that we begin binding that strong man. Now, I'm glad for Christian culture. I'm glad we have Christian schools for our kids, and I'm glad we have Christian bookstores, and I'm glad that we have Christian music and Christian concerts. I'm glad for all of those things. But, beloved, these things will never bind the strong man. And it's going to take an anointed people to move in and begin to bind that strong man. And then the Lord says, "You can spoil his house." And I bet Paul had a lot of fun spoiling the house there in Ephesus. Hallelujah. Thousands of people getting saved and healed. And it was so mighty that they even took claws from his body, you know. And these were just as effective as his own personal presence. And all of these things that took place. And I think that these people that were in this initial binding of the strong man in Ephesus could rejoice when they saw what God was doing. Praise the Lord. All right. God bless you real good. Amen. What are we going to do?
I don't know.
Let's sing Mighty, Mighty, Mighty again.
Amen.
One thing in binding the strong man, we have to realize that our God is mighty. He's almighty. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Mighty, mighty, mighty is the Lord.
Enjoying this, I tell you what let's do. Let's join hands in groups of five, counting even the children here. Let's all join hands in groups of five. You have to make little circles. No, make circles. You say, "Why do you do this?" The Word of God tells us that when they went up to take the land, they went up by five. You got six. All right. Six is all right, but no less than five. Need one more over here. Some of you sixes go over here. See? They went up by fives when they took the land. They went up by five. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we'll just sing some more, and then if some of the folks here want to minister and so on, just whatever you want to do.
I think that we ought to find the strong man over Hot Springs while we're doing this.
All right.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's sing it a time or two, and then we'll just enter into some work there, huh?
Mighty, mighty, mighty. Mighty, mighty, mighty is the Lord our God. Mighty, mighty, mighty is the Lord our God. Mighty in the midst of things. Mighty to save, mighty to kill, mighty to mighty, mighty, mighty is the Lord our God. Mighty in the midst of thee. Mighty, mighty, mighty is the Lord our God. Mighty, mighty, mighty is the Lord our God. Mighty in the midst of thee.
Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.